to see this number out with your Bibles ready to study. Good to have some visiting with us. We understand and appreciate so much when people come and visit with us and want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. One way we believe that will help you feel comfortable is if you take your Bible and study with us. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you would, in a kind way, show me my error, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in Mark 16:16 and other places. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis and the first chapter, I want to read with you verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think sometimes when I go back and read that one verse, I begin to think about that God is the God of beginnings. And when I thought about reading Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, I began to recognize that God was there in creation with His Son. And I began to picture in my mind what it must have been like when the earth was void and before the earth was created, what the universe was like. And though I do not have that kind of imagination, I've tried to just picture what it would be like when God spoke into creation, the earth. But this morning, for just a few moments of our time, I want us to go back to the beginning. And what I want us to do is look at the God of new beginnings. And I want us to examine that Jesus, in Matthew 19, in verse 4, made an appeal. When they tried to entangle Jesus in His speech, He said, "Have you not read that in the beginning?" And in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, in verse 24, when Paul was preaching to the Athenians, Paul appealed to them about the God who created the world. And he went back to the beginning. And what is life but a series of beginnings? And the inspired book of God notifies us of all kinds of beginnings, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And we must go back to the book of Genesis and look at some things from the beginning, and then observe some other things, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want us to think about, that is in the beginning, that God is the God of new beginnings. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created the vegetable life, and He created animal life. Then we read in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, that God created man. Then we read where God created woman, and they become one in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And this is a new beginning for man and woman when God made and God designed the married life. Then if you take your Bible, you'll find that God made them in Genesis chapter 1 after His own image. And you'll remember that here is man, now a spiritual being. And at this time, before the fall, he was created to live in the image of God. He was created to be an individual that would live eternally. He was created to be in fellowship with God. Then we read that man was created as a free moral agent. That God gave man the ability to choose between that which is good and that which is evil. And God gave one specific command to man in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Of all the trees in the garden you can eat, but the one that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will not eat of, because the day you eat of, you will die." And you remember that Satan tempted Eve, and Eve partook of the fruit. She gave it to Adam, and he partook of the fruit. And you remember that at that time, spiritual death became part of mankind. And ever since then, we've lived in a cursed world. Man was cursed, woman was cursed, the serpent was cursed, and the world was cursed because sin had entered into the world. But have you ever stopped to think about, even at that time, after the creation of heaven and earth, when man failed, when man disobeyed God, that God still gave Adam and Eve a new beginning. That God is the Redeemer. And that word Redeemer means to purchase or to deliver. And God has this right for he's the creator of man. And though Adam and sin rebelled, you remember that God looked at Adam and Eve and he gave them a second chance. That God gave them a new beginning. Though he drove them from the Garden of Eden, though he did not give them permission to get to the tree of life, God gave them a new beginning. He clothed them. And though they now were living in a sin-cursed world where they would work through thistles and through thorns, where there would be pain in childbirth, God gave them a new beginning. And I thought about how God is a God of new beginnings. Here God had created the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. But when sin entered into the world, he went back to work, looking for the redemption of man, because now man was spiritually separated from him. Though Adam and Eve was physically alive, they were spiritually separated. And God recognized that they would need an individual who was sinless to take away their sin. So God is the God of new beginnings. But if you take your Bible and look in the book of Genesis and the sixth chapter, you remember that God looked down upon creation. And then we look down upon creation, it says in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, that the mind of man was upon evil continuously. That man was scheming and devising that which was iniquity. Man was living in the very filth of sin. And when God looked down, God was angry with mankind. But there was one that found favor with God, his name being Noah. In fact, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And I've often thought about that when God looked down, he had his intention to destroy the wicked man. But because Noah was living a righteous life, God spared Noah. God told Noah, you build the ark, and all the people that get into the ark will be saved. But all the people who are not in the ark, they will be drowned. Have you ever thought that God looked down with his love for man and mercy for man, and God gave Noah 120 years to preach to the people, and the people would not get into the ark? And the Bible said that when Noah and his family got into the ark, God closed the door. And when God closed the door and the rains began to descend, it was too late for those people. But have you ever thought that God gave a new beginning to Noah and his family? And God had set the rainbow in the sky to show that he would not ever drown the whole world again? That there would not be a universal flood again? That if the earth is to be destroyed, it won't be by water? And God gave Noah a new beginning because Noah accepted the invitation of God and got into the ark. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, look with me in the book of Exodus and the second chapter. And when you come to the book of Exodus and the second chapter, you'll find a man identified as Moses. And you remember Moses was born a Jewish boy in Egyptian captivity. And you remember that at that time the decree had gone out that all male children were to be cast into the Nile River. But his mother had mercy upon the child and put the child into a little ark. And the little ark floated down the river, and the Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. And in Exodus chapter 2, you'll find that they loved the child. She adopted the child. But then later on, you'll find in Exodus chapter 2 where Moses kills a man. And when Pharaoh heard of this in verse 15, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Have you ever thought that here was a man that made a great mistake? He was a man that committed the sin of murder. And Moses had to flee Egypt. And here he was out in the middle of the desert tending sheep. But when you come to the book of Exodus in the 15th chapter, God, who is a God of new beginnings, gives Moses a commission. In the book of Exodus and the 15th chapter, read the words of Moses when he talks about that the Lord, in verse 3, is a mighty warrior, a man of God, a man of war. And then if you drop down to Exodus chapter 12, look at what he says about God. In verse 11, he said, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you've redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." What had God done through the hand of Moses? He had led the people out of Egyptian captivity. He had led them out of bondage to a land of promise. And can you imagine the day the people had been led out of bondage and captivity to a land of freedom? I want us to look at God and see that God is a God of new beginnings. That so often we get caught up in a rut. So often we get caught up in our own lives that we fail to see that God is willing to give us a new start in life. And I'll tell you, I don't see a better picture of that than when I look at the day of Pentecost. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, have you ever stopped to consider when God, on the day of Pentecost, had the apostles preach that great message? And in Acts chapter 2, you find 3,000 people being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And you know what? God had given them a new plan. No longer were they living under the law of Moses. They now will live in Christ. But notice what else he gives them. A new life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, he said that we walk in newness of life. When? After we've been immersed into Christ. What happens? We're raised up. Then what? We walk a new life. God is a God of new beginnings. The old man has been put to death. The old man has been buried. Now we have a new purpose in life, to give God glory. We have a new life. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, "Preacher, oh, if I could just start over and go back in time." I'll tell you, my friend, I can't go back in time, but I can have a new life in Christ. I can start over in Christ. If I've never been baptized, I can come to the Lord and I can have every sin blotted out. And then I think about, I have a new king. I am under a new law. Christ is my king. His word, the New Testament, is my law. And I have a new family, as 1 Timothy 3:15 says. That the church is the house of God, the pillar and ground for truth. I have family, brothers and sisters who are my spiritual family, who are here to lift me up. And I think about the fact that we have a new plan, a new life. We have a new family. We're under a new king. And that, my friend, we now have hope. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And I want us to understand that if we're not in Christ, we stand condemned without any hope. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And look at the next words, without God in the world. But look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, who you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm now a new creature in Christ. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at what the Apostle Paul had to say when he wrote this second epistle to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at what he says, that we are now a new creation. Have you ever thought, my friend, that that's a beautiful statement? That we are a new creation in Christ? In 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying is that God is a God of new beginnings. But can I tell you a second thing? Not only is God the God of new beginnings, God is the God of second chances. He's also the God that after we've become children of God, that when we fail, that God is willing, if we repent and confess of our sins, to take us back. Have you ever looked at the prodigal son in Luke 15? That God would be willing to receive one back that had gone into the far country and lived in the filth of sin? And when the father saw the son coming, what does he do? Does he say, oh no, no second chances? Oh no. The father ran to meet him. The father ran and kissed him. And I'm thankful that this morning I serve a God of new beginnings and I serve a God of second chances. I think about Peter who stumbled and he failed and he denied the Lord three times. In Luke 22, you think about three times he said, I do not know the man. And yet, what does the Lord do when Peter went out and wept those bitter tears of repentance? He restores him. Have you ever thought that God is the God of the second chance? That's why when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in the Philippian letter in the third chapter, that Paul makes a great statement. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid of hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? Paul wasn't going to let him that happen. He wasn't going to allow his past failures hinder him. And I'll tell you, there's no logic to this. To let our past failures keep us from doing what we need to do now. Oh, I'll tell you, sometimes I've been so guilty of letting my past haunt me to the point I'm not doing now what I need to do. And I want you to think about, my friend, that when I do that, I'm not living for God now. What I need to realize is I need a new beginning. What I need is a second chance. And the God of heaven is the God of new beginnings and the God of second chances. I want to take that. I want to make application to your life and the lessons you. The first thing I want us to ask is, have we ever stopped and accepted our new life in Christ? Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you know, my friend, you may say, preacher, you don't know all that I've done. You know, it's really none of my business what you've done. That's between you and the Lord. But I do want you to understand that no matter what you've done, you can have a new beginning in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at the list of sins that was committed in the city of Corinth by the individuals that would make up the church. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If it stopped right there, my friend, a lot of people would have no hope. A lot of us would have no hope. Had we lived in that sin and we've repented of it and God said, it's too bad, we'd have no hope. But I'm thankful for verse 11 where he said, and such were, underscore that word, you were that, but you're not that anymore. Some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They're no longer living that way. And I thought about, we can have a new life in Christ. If you've never been on Christ in baptism, have you ever thought about what it's like to put that old man to death and to put the chains of sin and bondage away and be raised up to walk in newness of life? To have a new beginning. But secondly, what do we do after our failure as Christians? Well, we need to remember 1 John 1, 9. That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'll tell you, my friend, His blood will cleanse us if we repent of our sins. And we need to remember that God is looking down, not trying to zap us, but God is looking down with the tender mercy. I look at the prodigal son coming home. I look at Peter. And I remember the words of Jesus when He talked about in Luke 19 that He came to seek and to save the lost. If somebody ends up in hell, my friend, it's not because God didn't give them a chance to have a new beginning or a second chance. It's because they would not accept God's terms That's why one ends up separated from God. But thirdly, look at His love. Open your Bible to the 103rd Psalm. In the 103rd Psalm, look at what it says. In Psalm 103, if you will, look about verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for that the God of heaven remembers our frame? But that brings up something else. A local church should be a place of new beginnings. And Eastside, I've got a question for you. Is this church one? Sometimes, if we're not careful, we become so much like the Pharisees, I wonder if we believe in giving second chances to people. But I'll tell you something. If it wasn't for the God of new beginnings and second chances, not a one of us would be saved. I'm thankful that when God looks down, that God is wanting man to come to Him. It's not His will that we perish. It's His will that we repent of our sins. 2 Peter 3:9. And I wonder if we'd be willing to give someone a second chance. I remember one time a fellow coming forward. And some folks kind of rolled their eyes and they thought, oh, here he comes again. They didn't recognize this man had been struggling with some things in his life. But I want to tell you, in Luke 15, if the angels rejoice over one who repents, then I'll tell you, we should rejoice over one who repents. Because every one of us needs a second chance. Every one of us needs a new beginning. And we need to be grateful that God is the God of new beginnings. And that's why in the 107th Psalm, in the second verse, He said, let the redeemed say so. Why? We've been delivered by God. By His mercy, by His love, by His compassion. But if we spurn His love, we reject His love, then my friend will be lost. This morning, our dog got out again. And I was with Jackson, and I said, I want to kill the dog. I got to admit, I had to do some repenting on the way here. I said, you know, we feed the dog. We give the dog a house. I let her sit in my chair. And she's not a light dog. She's a fat dog, and she sits up in my lap. And then every chance she gets, she hits the door like a bullet running from us. And then I looked at Jackson and I said, I wonder if that's how God feels when He has showered love and blessings upon us. And every chance we get, we try to get away from it. How that can be heartbreaking. But we don't have to live that way. We can reciprocate the love God has given us. We can enjoy a new beginning. I can't do anything about my past except repent of it and change. But I can't step into yesterday and undo the things I've done. I can't go back and change everything I've done. But what I can do is start now and have a new beginning. And thank God, He's the God of new beginnings. In this new year, this first Sunday of the new year, what are we going to be looking forward to? Opportunities? Are we going to be thankful that God is a God of second chances? Are we going to talk to people who are lost? Are we going to go to people who are hurting? Are we going to be people that go out and try to bring people back to the Lord that one time were faithful? Because I'll tell you something. Every one of us needs to be grateful that God was willing to give us a second chance. He's the God of the new beginning. If you're here